proudly we hail. New York City, where the American stage begins, here's another program with a cast of outstanding players. Public service time has been made available by this station for your Air Force to bring you this story, as proudly we hail the United States Air Force Air Rescue Service. Our story is entitled, A Day for Boys. This is the story of airmen at work, but the kind of work that brings out the best in a man and takes the best kind of man to do it. As proudly we hail the United States Air Force's Air Rescue Service. Our first act curtain will rise in just one moment. But first, when you make an investment, you want it to pay off, right? Well, men, how about those years you invested in the service, learning skills, gaining experience valuable to yourself and your country? You can make those years pay off in big dividends today by becoming a member of the United States Air Force. Yes, indeed. If you've been in any of the armed forces, you may be eligible to enlist in the Air Force in a grade that'll be a real pleasant surprise. You see, right now, the Air Force needs men skilled in certain important fields. And you may be just such a man. If so, the Air Force offers you an opportunity to put your previous service experience to work and to collect on those credits you've earned toward a comfortable retirement. Your Air Force recruiter has a folder full of details, so you write or visit him right away. Ask for the prior serviceman's folder. Today and tomorrow, you're better off in the United States Air Force. And now your Air Force presents the proudly we hail production, A Day for Boys.
When you're in a situation like this, the best thing you can do is talk. At least that's what the Major told me a few minutes ago. He said it's the best way to take your mind off your worries. I think the Major has a point, especially in the light of what's happened to me in the last 24 hours and what is about to happen shortly. You see, I'm the medic in an H-19 helicopter crew of the Air Rescue Service Squadron assigned to this base. Well, this morning when I reported to the ready room to stand by for emergency duty with my fellow crew members, Captain Richards and Lieutenant McPherson...
Well, how's about some coffee?
Yeah, suits me, Captain.
Sergeant Graham?
Huh?
I said, how about some coffee?
Oh, yeah, sure, sir.
Say, you're mighty quiet this morning for a change. How come?
I've just been thinking, sir. Doc says it'll probably be in a few days now.
Well, no wonder you're so quiet. And everything will be okay.
Well, thanks, Lieutenant. I'm not worried. It's just that I'm beginning to realize what it's going to mean to be the father of a baby boy.
A boy? I didn't know Air Force doctors were fortune tellers, too.
Yes, how about that, Graham? Since when can they tell what a baby's going to be before it's born?
Oh, nobody told me. I just know it. This is something I've looked forward to for a long time, a son. Just got to be.
If there's nothing around for a boy to get into mischief with, he'll invent something. Give me a girl every time. Well, at least most of the time.
Well, I don't know. Can you take a daughter with you when you go hunting or to a baseball game?
Well, I can see you never took a boy along on an outing. Now, I remember once I took mine on a fishing trip.
Yeah, what happened? He catch more fish than you?
Worse than that, he caught poison ivy up to his earlobes.
Mayday, let's go.
Mayday is an emergency call, and the bell was our signal. We reported immediately to the operations officer for our briefing.
Gentlemen, I've just received a call for help from the U.S. Forestry Service. A boy is lost in the Rockies area within the vicinity of the base, as indicated on the map. Since the area is densely wooded and mountainous, it's a job for helicopters. You will start your search at this point at low-level altitude, using a concentric circle pattern with intervals of 100 yards. The weather as of now is clear, wind southwest at 10 knots. But there is a front moving in, rain, thunder squalls, and gusts expected. Here's a description of the boy. Any questions?
Yes, Colonel. The point of origin of our search. Is that where the boy disappeared from?
Yes, it's a summer cottage. And I advise you to drop in there before you start. Perhaps you can pick up more information from the boy's parents as to which direction he might have taken. Now, any further questions?
Fine.
And good luck.
In a few minutes, our chopper was airborne, with Captain Richards at the controls, a Lieutenant McPherson co-pilot, and myself down below in the cabin preparing our rescue equipment. In about 15 minutes, the captain brought our helicopter down to a small cabin set in a clearing high on a ridge of a mountain.
A perfect four-point landing, Captain.
With a ship like this, how can you miss?
Oh, look, sir. Somebody coming out of the cabin. An old man.
Yes. Hello.
Oh, hello. What in tarnation's going on?
Well, I'm Captain Richards of the Air Force, sir. Air Rescue Service.
Oh, hurry. Glad to meet you.
Hello.
I'm Henry Bender. You fellas in trouble or something?
No, we're not in trouble, sir. But we understand little boy is missing. You know anything about it?
Do I? You bet I do.
Okay. We've been asked by the Forestry Service to help in the search for him.
Oh, good.
I've got some dope on him here. Will you check me to see if it's correct?
Okay. Shoot.
All right. His name is Dick. 8 years old. About 3 feet tall. Sandy hair. Freckles. Gray eyes and 2 front teeth missing. Last seen in this area about 9 o'clock last night. Is that right?
Right. I was the one who last seen him when I put him to bed.
Uh-huh. Are his parents here?
No. New York.
New York?
Now, he's my grandson, and his folks send him here to me every summer.
I see. Well, Mr. Bender, do you have any idea which way he might have gone?
Well, it's hard to say. 1 year they found him on the roof here. Another time he was in a lean-to he'd built for himself up in the woods.
Well, he must be really lost this time, else they...
Oh, do you hear what I hear?
Squall, that's what it is. We have lots of them up here.
What do you think, Mac?
It looks like it might be a bad one.
Yeah, I don't think I can get her up through that. We better make the plane secure until the front passes. Let's go.
The sky was black, and the wind and rain whipped through the clearing in sudden, vicious gusts. I dug out the cables, and we tied down the blade tips. By the time we got finished, we were soaking wet. But when we got into the cabin, there was a roaring fire in the fireplace.
Now, sit down and dry off a spell. Here's some sandwiches and coffee.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Bender. You look mighty good right now.
Egg tastes mighty good, too.
Smoked venison. During the season, this place is full of deer. See, that's a right peculiar flying machine you fellas got there. First time I seen him up so close. When you come in for a minute, I thought it was a spaceship from outer space.
Outer space?
Yeah. Dick has been filling my head with stories about space travelers. Every year he comes with something different with him. 1 year it was detectives, the next cowboys. Last year he was going to be a fireman. And you can bet I kept my matches here, or else he'd have started one just to put it out. I can tell you I have my hands full with that kid.
Yes, I can see you have, sir. Well, isn't there something you could do to keep this sort of thing from happening every year?
Well, I tried my best. Every time, I swear, I ain't going to have him come here again. It's too much of a responsibility. But then, when summer comes, I think of him having been in that big city all winter and how good the air and outdoors will be for him. And, well, then I get kind of lonesome for him.
While we drank our coffee and dried off, the old man told us stories about his grandson. But all the time, he kept looking at his clock and out of the window at the weather. He was putting up a pretty good front, but I could see that he was worried about the boy. And with the weather the way it was, I could understand why. But as these mountain squalls do, it cleared up suddenly after about half an hour. And we thanked the old man, unshackled our ship, and started our search. We thoroughly circled the area all around within at least 5 miles of the cabin, but didn't see him anywhere. Several times we spotted searching parties, but they were having no luck either. After about an hour...
Captain, the fuel's down.
Yes, we'd better get back to the base.
Gosh, I hate to think of that kid wandering around by himself down there in the mountains.
Well, so do I. But as soon as we get refueled, we're coming right back out again.
The way I felt about it, nothing would have stopped me from searching until we found him. I've been on many rescue missions, but on this one, I was sort of emotionally involved. I kept seeing this boy, afraid, lonely, in that wilderness down there. Not as a strange young kid, but... well, as if he were my boy, the boy that was yet to be. Well, we didn't find the boy. And when we landed at the base and checked at the operations building, There was a message waiting for me to call my wife at the base hospital.
Base hospital?
Mrs. Graham, please. This is her husband.
Just a moment. Hello? Call for Mrs. Graham, her husband.
No, I'll take it. Hello, Sergeant Graham. This is Major Williams.
Major, what's the matter?
Don't get excited, Sergeant. She's all right. The baby's going to be a little earlier than we expected, that's all.
Earlier? Can I speak to her?
No, not right now, I'm afraid. She's sleeping.
Then I'll be right over.
Now, just a moment. You're on a mission to find a lost boy, aren't you?
Yes, I almost forgot.
Now, look, Sergeant, you do what you feel is right, but as far as your wife's concerned, she's in no danger.
Are you sure, Major?
Yes. And when you get right down to it, Sergeant, there's really little you can do here, at least when compared to what you can do on your search.
I see.
But it's up to you. Whatever you want to do is all right with me. But remember, everything is going to be okay at this end.
I hung up the phone and stood for a moment, not knowing which way to turn. Everything in me told me I should be at my wife's side at a time like this. But if I did go to her, I knew that the captain and the lieutenant would have to resume the search by themselves, or else dig up a replacement for me. But most of all, what went through my mind was the picture of a sandy-haired kid with gray eyes and freckles, maybe in serious trouble somewhere in the mountains. And the longer I thought, the more I knew what I had to do. By the time our ship was refueled, I was there, ready to take off again.
All set?
Right, Captain.
Okay, here, Captain.
Okay, here we go.
Once more, we headed back to continue our mission. And once more, it looked like we were going to be unsuccessful as we searched in ever-widening circles. By now, we were flying over some really rough terrain, deep gorges and cliffs on all sides. But just as we started thinking about our fuel again...
Better be heading back soon, Captain.
Well, there's enough for another hour.
Hey, look.
Huh?
What's that down there?
Where?
They're halfway down the side of that cliff. You see? Something white.
I'll bring it down a little.
It's a boy. It's him.
Try the loudspeaker.
That's right, Captain. Here's the
boy. Dick. Dick Bender. If that's you, wave your hand.
Look, Captain. He's waving.
Okay, stand by. I'm going down.
Captain Richard started to bring it down. But as we got between the two sides of the gorge, a downdraft hit us and sent us sprawling. We tried again and again, but it was no use. The ship was thrown around like a toy. We couldn't get to the boy, but we got close enough to see that he was on a narrow ledge. And that if he made one false move, well, it was at least a 600-foot drop straight down. There was no way he could be reached by crawling down from the top. We had to get him out of there, but quick. There was only one hitch, and that was the big one. In one word, how?
You are listening to the Proudly We Hail production, A Day for Boys, and we will return in just one moment for the second act. Many times a man is skilled in a particular job, yet he's unable to find a use for it. Has this happened to you? Are you a service veteran with a service-gained skill that's just going to waste? Well, if you are, then listen, because you may be able to put that skill to work as a member of the United States Air Force. The Air Force needs experience and know-how gained in all of the armed forces. If you possess one of the critical skills needed to keep America's air defense strong, you can put that experience to work in the Air Force and do so at a higher grade and with higher pay than you may realize. You've earned credits toward a valuable retirement income. So protect that initial investment. For full details, write or visit your Air Force recruiter. Ask for the Prior Serviceman's Folder. Now remember, that's the Prior Serviceman's Folder. This folder will show you why, today and tomorrow, you're better off in the United States Air Force. You are listening to Proudly We Hail, and now we present the second act of A Day for Boys.
There's one thing you can be sure of in air rescue work, and that is, you can't be sure of anything. Every mission is different. Up to a certain point only can you follow standard operating procedure. Beyond that, well, it sometimes takes skill, courage, or ingenuity. And when we saw the boy on his narrow ledge of rock below us, we knew that this was one job that would take a combination of all three.
Graham, get on that loudspeaker and ask him if he's okay.
Right.
Dick. Dick. Are you all right? Wave one hand if you are.
Yes, sir, he is.
Good. Now tell him not to move.
Dick. You must stay right where you are. Do not move. No matter what happens. We've come to get you out of here, but do not move. Okay?
He's nodding his head, Captain.
Fine. These canyon drafts are rough, but I'm going to bring it down once more. Lower the hoist cable, Graham. See if it reaches.
Right, sir.
Now, this is about as close as I can get. How is it?
About 15 feet too high, Captain.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a ledge up and to the right of the boy there. I think we can reach it with a cable.
Where? Oh, yeah, sure, we can reach it.
Bring the cable back, Graham. I'm going to go down there. I might be able to work my way over to the boy.
Are you kidding, Mac? You don't look like a mountain goat to me.
Oh, don't worry. I read books on mountain climbing when I was a kid.
Well, I don't know, Mac.
I'll be okay. If I need any help, I'll yodel.
Cable's in, Lieutenant.
Okay. Now, give me a hand, Graham.
Lieutenant McPherson crawled into the hoist stand, and I started to lower him away. Normally, it's a fairly routine operation, one we trained for and practiced many times. But now, caught in the cross currents of the gorge, the lieutenant swung back and forth like the pendulum on a clock, a big clock. And if one of those swings was too wide... Up above me in the cockpit, Captain Richards had to manipulate two control sticks and a pair of rudders, while I stood by on the hoist, ready to pull up the cable in a hurry if I saw the lieutenant heading for the rocks too fast. While I watched, I saw him slip out to make himself free, and in a moment he was hanging only by his hands.
What's he doing down there? His hands slipped?
I think he's going to jump for it.
Yeah. Watch it, Graham. This next swing should just about... There.
He made it.
Oh, good old Mac. Keep the hoist there in case he wants it again.
The lieutenant waited for a couple of minutes until he caught his breath, and then, slowly, very slowly, started to make his way along the face of the cliff. And for the life of me, I couldn't see what he was hanging on to. But he kept moving until he was about halfway to the boy, when, all of a sudden, he slipped. In an instant, he was gone, sliding down the face of the cliff toward the bottom. But as we watched, horrified, we saw him come to a stop about 20 feet below on a stubby bush grown into the side of the rocks. And there he lay still. Very still.
Get that hoist up, Graham. That bush won't hold him long.
You bet.
Think you can handle him?
Yes, sir.
Use the sling and I'll operate the hoist from here. This is going to be a tough one.
That was an understatement, as I found out a minute later. Swinging in my harness at the end of the cable toward the lieutenant. One look, and I knew I couldn't use the sling. The bush was too small to hold both of us. I had only one alternative. I took off my gloves, rubbed my palms dry, and waited while Captain Richards maneuvered me closer. On one of my swings, I caught a glimpse of the boy staring at me with wide-open eyes, and I flashed him a high sign. The next swing brought me right to the lieutenant. I reached out, and I grabbed for him. I started to put my arms around him, but just then the bush gave way, and he with it. I made a desperate lunge, and I caught him just in time. I held him so tight I thought the muscles in my arms would snap, while Captain Richards raised the ship up to a plateau on top of the cliff and hovered it there until I lowered the lieutenant to the ground. As I quickly slipped out of the harness, he came to.
Oh, my head.
How do you feel, Lieutenant?
I'm okay, I guess. Must have knocked the wind out of me.
Yeah, but we better get you back to the ship. You think you can pull yourself in through the door?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get this harness on you. I buckled him up, gave a sign to the captain, and the lieutenant was hauled up to the ship. Minutes later, I was hauled up, too.
Captain Richards told me what you did, Graham. Thanks.
For what? You'd have done the same for me. Captain, I got an idea how we can get the kid.
You have? What?
Well, while I was down there, I spotted a ledge about 10 feet below him. Now, if you let me off where you dropped the lieutenant before, I think there's a way I can go down and over rather than try to go straight to the kid's ledge. Then I'll be able to stay with him until you can reach us. Maybe there'll be less wind by then.
Okay, we'll give it a run. Keep our fingers crossed for a lull. There's nothing else we can do.
This was the payoff. And swinging away down there at the end of the cable, nearer and nearer to the ledge, I tried to concentrate on what I had to do. But I kept thinking of Jane and wondering if I was a father and didn't know it. By now, the swings were getting bigger. I was beginning to feel like one of those big steel balls on the end of a chain, the kind building wreckers use. Only I wasn't going to wreck the cliff if I hit it. But the captain was a wizard at the controls, and he feathered me right to the edge of the ledge. I let go the hoist and dropped. It was a perfect one-point landing, right on my stomach. I lay still for a moment. I had to. The wind was knocked right out of me.
Graham, are you okay?
I waved an okay sign at the captain and then looked around. Below me was a mountain goat path that led downward and over to the ledge underneath the boy. I eased myself down to the path, made my way over to the ledge without too much trouble. Now, to get up to the boy. There were a few small cracks that I could use for footholds, but that was about all. As I stood trying to figure out a route of approach, the boy stuck his head out and looked down.
Mister, are you coming to get me?
Hi, Dick. You bet. How do you feel?
Not so good. I'm hungry.
I guess you are. But don't worry. We'll have you safe and sound at home in no time at all. Just don't move, okay?
Okay.
His face was streaked with grime and dried tears, but he threw a feeble, two front teeth missing grin at me and then pulled his head back out of sight. I drew in a deep breath, hitched my trousers, and reached for the first crevice. It was a long stretch. Slowly, I pulled up my left foot, searched for a crack, found it, then pulled up my right foot. But there was no place where I could put it. If I had been 3 inches taller, I could have grabbed the next crevice. But it was no soap. I was stymied, stopped cold. He was only 10 feet above me, but it might as well have been 10 miles for all I could do. I dropped down to the ledge, and as I did so, I knew what the only thing was that could be done. But it wouldn't all depend on me. Dick! Hey, Dick!
Yeah, mister?
Are you afraid?
I don't think so.
That's good. I want you to do something for me.
What?
Now listen very carefully. I want you to put your feet over the edge there and just slide right down here to me. How about it? Think you can do it?
I'll try.
That's good. Okay, all set? Anytime, I'm ready.
Okay.
He slowly put his feet over the edge. That's as far as he got. He just sat there, frozen.
I can't, mister. I can't.
Come on, Dick. That's a good boy.
I'm scared. It's so far down there to the bottom.
Yeah, but I'm going to catch you. You see, look. I'm right underneath you.
No. No.
I knew I'd have to try something else. Something I had been reading up on the last few months. Child psychology. I signaled the captain to hold off on the talk and then turned to the kid. Dick, your grandpa told me you wanted to be a fireman once. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know that to be a fireman, you have to learn how to jump into a net?
I think so.
Well, this is the same thing, only it's not near so high, and a net can't grab you like I can. Now, if you just do it, you can learn two things at once.
How?
Well, you can qualify to be a full-fledged fireman when you grow up. And second, you'll have a chance to feel what it's like to be a real spaceman. Best kind there is, a helicopter pilot. If you come down now, I'll fix it so you can handle the controls of the ship when we go back. Now, how about it?
For a long moment, he sat there. And then, very simply and easily, he let himself slide right down into my waiting arms. I think I was shaking more than he was, with relief. By this time, as I had hoped, the wind had died down. Died down enough to enable the captain to reach us with the cable. And in minutes, we were hauled up to the ship.
On our way back, Captain Richards let him sit in his lap and work the controls. By the time we dropped them off at the cabin, Dick had decided he was going to be in the Air Force when he grew up. And this was one time his grandfather had no objections. On the way back to the base...
Good job, Sergeant Graham.
Boy, that was one time I really talked.
Sure did. It paid off.
Hey, Graham, tell me, you still feel the same way about having a son?
You know something, Captain? I'm beginning to think I don't. If I spend my days doing rescue work, I don't want to have to do it at home, too. We got back to the base about half an hour ago. And you can bet I headed right here to the hospital first thing. Only to find that my wife was in the delivery room and that I had some more waiting to do, as you can see. Well, talking like this has helped. But gosh, how long does it take?
Well, congratulations, Sergeant Graham.
It's over? How is she, Major Williams?
Oh, fine, just fine.
And the baby?
Babies, Graham.
Babies?
Yes, boys. Both of them.
Doc, I'm tired. Worn out. I'm at the end of my rope. You mean two boys?
Oh, get me a glass of water, will you? I've heard about it happening, but this is the first time in all my years I've ever seen it. A father fainting. Now, come on, Graham, come on, wake up. They're your babies from now on.
Are you a service veteran? Then listen carefully, because this message is just for you. You may be qualified to enlist in the United States Air Force in a grade that'll be a real surprise to you. If you possess one of the critical skills needed to keep America's air defense strong, then the Air Force offers you an opportunity to put your skill to work and at a higher grade and with higher pay than you may realize. Right now, the Air Force needs experience and know-how gained in the armed forces. And now, thanks to the new Career Incentive Act, you can put your service gained skills to work to your best advantage by returning to the armed forces as a member of the Air Force team. You write or visit your Air Force recruiter for the special prior serviceman's folder. It's full of important details, and you'll see why, today and tomorrow, you're better off in the United States Air Force. This has been another program on Proudly We Hail, presented, transcribed, in cooperation with this radio station. Proudly We Hail is produced by the Recruiting Publicity Center in New York for the United States Air Force, and this is Dick Herbert speaking, and inviting you to tune in to the same station next week for another interesting story on Proudly We Hail.